Morning, Devin. If you're new today, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and last week we were looking at three super important qualities that God's looking for in fathers and godly leaders, really. And those three things were integrity, humility, and generosity. And we learned that these are the three antidotes to the three common temptations that we face in this world: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we looked at all of that last week, so we won't go over them again today, but if you build your life on those three things, integrity, humility, generosity, you will not succumb to those three traps that cause so many people to fall and fail. And if you missed that, you probably want to check out our YouTube channel and watch that and go over that stuff. But today we want to take a closer look at what I think is really probably the hardest of those three for us in our day and age, and that is generosity. I think we need to do a little bit deeper dive into that one because it's one of God's primary character traits. And therefore, it's an area that God desires to transform our lives with. The Bible tells us God's plan is to conform you and me into the image of Christ. He wants us to reflect the heart of Jesus to the world so that they can see him in us. And as I mentioned last week, there are more promises related to generosity in the Bible than any other topic. It's really 10 to 1. That's why it's so important, I believe, for us to take this deeper dive here today. And when I say generosity, I'm not just talking about money, okay? I'm talking about being generous with your time, with your talents, with your energy and encouragement, being generous with your love and with your life. It's about becoming an unselfish person. There are more promises about that than anything else. Last week, we learned that generosity is love in action. It's what it is. It's love in action. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. If I tell my wife that I love her, but I'm never generous with her, guess what? I don't really love her, right? Same thing with our kids, with our friends, our neighbors, whoever. Because love gives. Love gives. The Bible teaches us that. John 3:16, most famous passage in the Bible. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his one and only son. 1 John 4:16, we know how much God loves us. How do we know? And we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. So God is the absolute standard when it comes to love because it originates in him. God is love. It wouldn't even exist without him. And the proof of God's love was shown through his generous gift of his son. Everything you have in your life is a gift from God. If God was not generous, folks, you'd have nothing. Your heart would stop beating because life is a gift. He gives you air, sunshine, today rain, a mind to think, and everything else in your life. The abilities to learn and earn are both gifts from God. And God wants us to learn to be like him. So today may feel a little bit like you're drinking from a fire hose if you've looked at the outline already, because we're going to cover a dozen things about generosity that can be found in the Bible. You'll have to write fast, but these are the things that happen every time you're generous, when you become a generous person. The first thing is that you start to honor God, because generosity honors God. Giving is actually an act of worship. It's a recognition that everything you have is a gift from God. Early church leader Paul instructed the church in Corinth, Greece, these words. He said, "You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ." Now, this text is specifically referring to money in its context, but the principle of generosity, as I said earlier, applies to every area of our lives. Our time, our counsel, our friendship, our talents, and of course, our finances. People are not just poor concerning money, folks. People can be poor in spirit. They can be discouraged. They can be disillusioned. People can be poor in understanding, right? And need some help in learning something. The book of Proverbs shows us that kindness shown to the poor is an act of worship. Let me ask you, what's more beneficial, let's say, to a child with a single parent, to buy them a fish dinner or take them out fishing for the day? What about your own kids, family? For some of us, buying something for someone else is no sacrifice, right? But making time in your schedule to spend some time with them, that's what generosity looks like to you or for you. And God considers it an offering of worship to him. For others, it could be the exact opposite, right? You may have lots of time in your day, lots of time to offer. It's not a sacrifice for you to spend time with people, but to set aside some of your income as a regular offering to the work of God's church, that's the kind of generous sacrifice that honors God and draws us closer to him, which is our second point. My generosity draws me closer to God. So how does it do that? Well, because whatever I invest in is what I'm interested in. If I invest my time in something, if I invest my money in something, if I invest my energy into something, whether it's gardening or golf or gaming, whatever I invest my time and my money in shows what's really important to me. Generosity shows that I put God first. In one of the oldest books of the Bible, it says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. When I invest in the work of God's church, it not only honors him, it draws me closer to him. And this is because wherever I spend my money, right? Wherever I spend my time, that's really where my attention's going to be at. Jesus said, "Your heart will be wherever your treasure is." So why do we give the first part of our income, traditionally the first 10%, on the first day of the week? It's our way of saying, "God, you're really first. You're first in my life. I give you the first of my income on the first day of the week, because I know it's all a gift from you anyways. It's all from you. Wherever you put your money, that's where your heart will be. If you want to be closer to God, then be generous towards the things that concern him and that he's interested in. Number three, because generosity makes me more like Jesus. The most generous person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. He gave his very life, sacrificing himself for us. The Bible says we have been saved because of the generosity of Jesus. Every time you give time, money, energy, anything, you are actually becoming more like him. Every time you give, your heart grows bigger, like the Grinch. Every time you give, you become actually more like Christ. Proverbs 21:26 says, the greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. The godlier you become, the more generous you'll be. But it also works in reverse. The more generous you are, the godlier you'll become. It's a win-win scenario, folks. Generosity makes me more like Jesus. And that's the goal. Number four, generosity cures materialism. In case you didn't know it, it's a disease. generosity and materialism really are at opposite ends of the spectrum. You can't really be generous and selfish at the same time. It's not a gift if you're expecting something in return. The only antidote for selfish materialism is generous giving. Jesus said that no one can serve two masters, right? Either you'll hate one, you'll love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, you may not think that you're materialistic, but if you're not generous, there's no other option. Every time you give, you break the grip of money over your life. Notice Jesus didn't say you should not serve both God and money. He says it can't be done. Can't happen. It's impossible. You can't have two gods. And this can be especially hard, I think, in our consumer-driven culture. It's too easy to get caught up in all the stuff that's being offered to us, right? And start to think that my net worth, it really determines my self-worth. It doesn't. Your value is not based on your valuables. Paul instructed Pastor Timothy how to teach his church regarding this. He said this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be generous and willing to share. Now, some of you breathed a sigh of relief. Whew, said the rich people of this world, right? That's what he's talking about. Well, you are absolutely right. But to most of the world, folks, we are so wealthy. Canadians are rich. If you own your own vehicle, you're in the top 6% of the world's population. According to Wikipedia, anyways. And I know that owning a car or a truck is pretty normal for us here. But to most of the world's population, it's a luxury they will never afford. So don't put your hope in your wealth, Paul says, but be generous and willing to share, because that will demonstrate your faith in our generous God, which is a nice segue to our next point. Generosity proves my faith. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church these words, the more you are enriched by God, the more scope there will be for generous giving. And your gifts administered through us will mean that many will thank God. For your giving does not end in meeting the wants of your fellow Christians. It also results in an overflowing tide of thanksgiving to God. Moreover, your very giving proves the reality of your faith. And that means that men thank God that you practice the gospel that you profess to believe in. Every time you give, it proves that your faith is real, because it shows that your selfish nature has been radically changed, transformed by God. It shows you're trusting in his promises in the Bible. The promises, like you said, there are thousands in the Bible towards those who are generous. It shows that you believe that God will take care of you when you do what his word says. To another pastor named Philemon, Paul writes this, I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Stinginess, then, to me, seems like is a sign of unbelief. I don't really believe that God will take care of my needs, so I need to hang on to everything as tightly as I can. I don't believe that if I give this away, he'll give me what I need in order to live. That's worry. That's anxiety. That's fear, folks. That's unbelief. Stinginess and selfishness are caused by unbelief. It's your faith that makes you generous, he says. Okay, number six. We got a lot more to go. It reveals my character. Not only my faith, but my character. If you don't manage your money well, if you can't be trusted with worldly wealth, it shows the condition of your heart. It shows whether your heart is selfish or generous. Being a generous giver shows that my heart is healthy. It is pure. Jesus said this, if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? So basically, the Bible tells us that God uses money to test what's really inside of you, what's inside us. He also uses money to test and see if he can trust you with more. And not just in this life. Now, you may not realize this, but the rewards and responsibilities that you will be given in heaven are going to be based on how you manage your money and responsibilities right here, right now. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, Jesus said, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? God won't. Your responsibility and your rewards in heaven are going to be based on how you handled what he's given you right here now. So you need to carefully consider what you're doing with what God has given you. Because when you have a generous spirit, God will bless your spirit, but he will bless your body, he will bless your soul, he will bless your life. Which is our next point, generosity brings God's blessing. If you want God's blessing in your life, you can't be a miser. You must learn to be open-handed with what God has given you, helping other people with whatever, however you can, and whatever you've got to offer to help. The more you give away your time, the more you give away your talent, your treasure, the more God will give those things back to you. It's a promise. Proverbs 22:9, generous people will be blessed. They'll be blessed. I could give you 100 more verses like this one. Generosity brings God's blessing. Here's another one from Deuteronomy. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. You want God to bless what you put your hand to? Absolutely. That's the answer. Give generously then. Be a generous person. It's a promise from God. Here's another one. One more before we move on. 2 Corinthians 9. God loves the one who gives gladly. God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. What an amazing promise. There are literally thousands of promises like this in the Bible, folks. I don't know if we believe it. But God wants us to understand that generosity brings his blessing. And one of those blessings is our next point. It increases my happiness. Generosity increases our happiness. Anyone need some happiness? Here's a surefire way to get it. Generosity That's what causes our happiness. Everybody knows this, right? Except for those who don't. Those who don't know it, well, that's because they're not generous people. Acts 20, verse 35, Jesus himself said, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. You know, I've always felt humbled by my own children at Christmas, especially when they were little. They always seemed to get way more joy out of what they gave us and how we reacted than out of anything we ever gave them. Generosity increases happiness. Unfortunately, I've also been to some Christmas parties where the heart of generosity was sorely lacking. And how miserable that party became for everyone present when one person let everyone know it was quite obvious that the gift that they got was not appreciated. Not only was that person unhappy, but they made everyone in the room unhappy. Generosity increases happiness. Number 9, it expands my influence. You see, influence does not come from what you have, what you've got in life. Influence comes from what you give away. And the more you give away, the more influential you'll be. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy will get smaller and smaller. It's talking about influence, right? The more generous you become, the more influence you will have. And I mentioned this last week. There's a difference between being famous and being influential. A lot of people in this world, there are a lot of folks that are famous, right? We know their names. They don't have much influence. There are others who are extremely influential, and yet you've probably never, ever heard their name. These people are the difference makers, the ones who are working and giving for the benefit of others. If you want to make a difference in this world, you need influence. If you want to become influential, be generous with your time, your talent, and your tunies. Psalm 112, verse 9 says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. In other words, those who give generously to those in need are remembered and honored. They leave a legacy. Because they were influential. They made a difference by being generous with their lives. You know, in 2008, Time magazine called Dr. Rick Warren the most influential religious leader in America. When asked why God chose him to write the best-selling nonfiction hardcover book of all time, he answered this way, because God knew he could trust me with the money. God knew I would not spend it on myself. I would not go buy a bigger house. I wouldn't buy a bigger car. I wear a watch from Walmart, he said. I drive a 15-year-old Ford truck. God knew I would not spend the money on myself. I would use it to help people come to Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, well, shoot, if I wrote a gazillion copy book of all time, I'd be giving away millions too, right? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. I guarantee it. Why? Because if you're not being generous with what God's given you right now, you will not be generous if you suddenly come into $1 million or millions of dollars. You won't. When Rick was a struggling seminary student, he chose to continue to honor God by putting him first and always give to his local church first, even though he was racking up student loans. He said when he was out of work, after he graduated, he didn't have a job yet, he kept giving. What he had, he gave. He was generous when his wallet and his cupboards were empty. He had a 40-year track record of generosity. I think that's why God knew he could be trusted. And because of his generosity, God gave him incredible, significant influence. Next point ties in closely with this. Generosity multiplies my money. Proverbs tells us this. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. This says generosity brings prosperity. It's another one of God's promises that we have a hard time believing, right? God has worked out this universe in such a way that when I give him 10% of my income, that's called tithing, in case you'd never heard of that, he takes the 90% that I have left over and he blesses it. And it goes way farther than my 100% ever could have gone. Paul taught the Corinthian church, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Paul says when you're generous, God will give you more so you can continue to be even more generous. All these promises, it's like God's challenging us to play the generosity game. God says, if you give to me, I'm going to give back to you more. If you give to somebody else, I'm going to give back to you. You keep giving, and let's see who wins in the end. Folks, you're never, ever going to win the generosity game with God. Never. You can't outgive him. His heart is for you. Number 11, generosity brings God's protection. A lot of people, I don't think, understand this one. Generosity actually brings God's protection over your family, over your business, even over your own life. Look at this psalm. Again, we read this earlier. All goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. Notice here, it doesn't say everything's going to go bad. No bad stuff will ever happen, right? It doesn't say that. It says you're not going to be overthrown by it. Everybody has rough patches. Everybody has tough times, right? God does not promise a worry-free, problem-free life. There's going to be evil circumstances from time to time that show up. But when you're generous, God says he'll make sure that you are not defeated by those times. You won't be overthrown by the evil circumstances that happen in life. And people, he says, will notice. They'll notice it. They'll say, look at that guy. He seems happy and blessed, even in these troubled times, even in the tough times. Got to find out why. What's the secret? And the door will be open for you to share the reason for the hope that you have. If you've been following along, we're on our last one and you're going, whew. Here's some more of Paul's instruction to Timothy. He says, use your money to do good. Always be ready. Always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. So again, he's telling Timothy, this pastor, what to teach his congregation. Use your money to do good, he says. I love that. Paul says money is to be used to love people, not the other way around. If you love money, you're going to end up just using people. Money, folks, is just a tool. So is this thing. It's not sticking with me very good here. It's being a tool. Money's just a tool. It's neither good nor bad, right? Money is not, it's just neutral. It's just there. It's just stuff, right? It can be used in really good ways. And it can be used in really bad ways. Of course, there are always those that say, well, doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? No, read your Bible, please. That's right. It says the love of money is the root for all kinds of evil. You are to love people and use money, not the other way around. God says, use your money to do good and to always be ready to share it with those in need. By this, it says, you can store up treasure in heaven. Storing up treasure in heaven. So we know you can't take it with you when you die, right? You've heard that. But the Bible says you can send it on ahead. Interesting, eh? How do you do that? Well, by investing in the people who are going there. Helping people get there with your money. That's how you do it. By investing in what God's doing through his church, absolutely, to reach the people in our community, people around the world, getting people into heaven, growing them in the faith. He calls it investing in heaven. Jesus said, I tell you, use your worldly resources and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. What does it mean to use my worldly resources to make friends? He's not saying just go out and buy a bunch of friends, right? It's not what he's saying. What he says really is meaning is take some of your money and use it to benefit others. Build bridges of friendship to bring people to Jesus so that they will be your treasure in heaven. Then when you get there, they will be there. They will greet you. They will welcome you. They will thank you. They will love upon you in ways you cannot imagine. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Yeah, that song. Your generosity today, God says, will be rewarded in heaven. I wonder, will people be in heaven because of you and me? Will they receive Christ because of our generosity? Is anyone going to say thank you? I'm here because of you. Maybe you bought Bibles for my village. You sponsored a child. You built a church. You taught me in kids' church. You supported a missionary. You volunteered at summer camp. And through your generosity, I came to know the Lord. I'm here because of you. Folks, all of us are here because of someone. Who's here because of us? To me, that's the greatest reward. There's nothing this world has to offer that's better than that. Nothing. Cool thing is we get to enjoy it forever, right? Everything I spend on myself will not last. Everything I spend on God's work Everything I spend on helping somebody else to have that opportunity to share Jesus with them, those things are going to be stored up in heaven. Where do you want to invest? I think it's a no-brainer. But maybe you've been listening today and you realize for the first time that you need all of this in your life. You've only been living really and spending for yourself. But now you see that there is a much bigger plan and purpose than just you. It's a much better life when you do things God's way, when he blesses you. Jesus came to give you a new and abundant life with him, he said. And all you have to do is put your faith in him and let him lead you from now on. He will transform your selfish heart into a generous heart like his. And then all of these promises and many, many more that we did not cover today will be added to you, to your life, here and forever. And if you've never done this, but you'd like to take that step today, as we all bow our heads together, if we could do that, folks, I'm going to just lead you in a short prayer. And you can follow along silently in your heart, and God will hear you, and he will give you a new and eternal life with him. He will transform your heart. He will start to make you a generous person, even more generous than you've ever been. And if you want to be included in this prayer, could you please just quickly let me know by raising your hand, and then we'll pray together, all of us. Thank you. Just pray along with me. Dear God, I need you. Thank you that you only want the very best for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so generous that you willingly laid down your life. You died for me, to take away my sin and give me a new life with you. Please lead me from now on so that the rest of my life can be the best of my life. God, I want to know you more. I want to trust you with everything I've got, everything I am. And I want to become more generous, just like you, so I can love people like you do. God, please use my life from now on for your purposes. I give it to you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, congratulations on making the best decision of your life. And we'd love to help you as you start that journey. And so if you could fill in one of those connect cards and drop it off at the next steps table in the back there, the red table. We've got some resources there that we'd love to share with you, and there'll be folks there to pray with you if there's anything you have need of in that way. And we'd just love to connect with you and help you in, as you start this journey with him.